Good morning. Today's daf is Kuf Chav Vav in Shabbos 126. We are back on Kuf Chav Hey Amud Aleph. And just a little bit to finish up to the Mishnah, and then we'll start with the new Mishnah. And God willing, today, with the help of Tosos eating a lot of real estate on Kuf Chav Vav, so we're going to finish the parak today. That at least is my stated goal. We are in the 17th parak of Shabbos, and we're talking about Muksa. We've been talking now about Muksa since the beginning of the 17th parak of Shabbos. It began back on Kuf Chav Beis Amud Beis, where the Mishnah told us, "Call a camel and tell him the Shabbos v'dal sasemi mahem," that you're allowed to move a kli on Shabbos together with its doors. Actually, we're going to come back to that Mishnah a little bit later on this morning. But in other words, we're talking about kalim. And to quickly recap, we've been talking now about various categories of kalim that can be moved on Shabbos: a kli shemalach to laheter, a kli that's used for the purposes of heter, that's general uses for heter, like a cup. Like a table, like a chair. So there you're allowed to move it. Tzarech gufa, tzarech mekamo, both for your personal need and if you need the space. And also mechama letzel, you're allowed to move it from the sun to the shade. A kli shemalachta le'ether, so that on Shabbos you're allowed to move, like a hammer, which its general definition, its purpose is for iser. So you're allowed to move it. Tzarech gufa, tzarech mekamo, both for your personal need and if you need the space. But you're not allowed to move it mechama letzel. Muchmach machmas chisaron kiss, if it's something which is very valuable to me and I have it earmarked for one specific purpose and I do not use it for anything else, so then you're not allowed to use it at all. You're not allowed to move it at all. That's a general overview of the world of Moksa. Also, another general overview which we talked about yesterday is that there are basically three shitas amongst the Tanaim about their feelings of Moksa. In order of, we're going to go from Minakal al-Khamur, from the most lenient to the most strict. We have the first supposition, Rabbi Shimon, where the Gemara quotes Rabbi Shimon saying, Rabbi Shimon, leis le'moksa. He doesn't subscribe to the whole concept of moksa. Now, that's inaccurate. That's not exactly how it works. Rabbi Shimon holds of a very limited form of moksa. Basically, Rabbi Shimon says that if it's moksa, machmas chisaron kiss, if I earmarked and designated it as something I do not want to use other than its strict purpose, so then Rabbi Shimon will call that moksa. But otherwise, however, Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of the general concept of moksa. Then there's a position of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is le moksa. He holds of the concept of moksa. Basically, our entire world of moksa revolves around how Rabbi Yehuda views moksa. He holds of moksa, he holds of nolad. That we learned in yesterday's daf. And finally, there's the opinion of Rabbi Nechemya, who takes the most hardline position of moksa, which is that any utensil on Shabbos can only be used for its general purpose and for nothing else. So a spoon, for example, according to Reb Nechemya, can only be used to eat with. You can't use a spoon for anything else on Shabbos. Okay, that's the position of Reb Nechemya. And kli nital, a kli can only be used for its specific purpose. Okay, the Gemara asked a great question yesterday. According to Reb Nechemya, how do you clear the table after Shabbos? Right? In other words, you finish your meal, so how do you clear the table according to Reb Nechemya? Meaning, oh, I'm going to take the spoon and the cup and the plate back to my kitchen, but that's not its purpose. Its purpose is to eat. So bringing it to the table is fine, but how am I going to clear the table? Okay, so the Gemara grappled with that according to Reb Nechemya. How can you do that? Good, that is just general overview, just to get us back into the flow of the Gemara. Gemara is talking about Shvarim, broken pieces of Kalim. So what is the story regarding Shvarim, broken pieces of Kalim? So to that, we had a discussion yesterday. If it breaks on Shabbos, if the Kli breaks on Shabbos, and it still has some functional use, so does it have to have the same functionality as the original Kli? Or is any function of this broken shard allow me to use it on Shabbos? That's subject to a debate that we saw in the Mishnah on Kuf Chav Dal Amud Beis, and that prompted the Gemara to discuss basically to where we got to yesterday. We talked about the oven breaking yesterday, and we gave in the Gemara not one, not two, but three explanations of the machlokas that the Gemara quoted. A Gemara quoted Tosefta yesterday about shivrei tanur, broken pieces of an oven, whether they could be used on Shabbos. Okay, that all goes back to yesterday's daf. We're on the bottom of Kuf Chav Hey Amud Aleph, and we just have a little bit of Gemara to do, where the Gemara talks about, Hey, Rav Yosti, Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Al Shivrei Tanur, Yashan, Shenitalim B'Shabbos, Ve'al Kisu Yav, Shein Tzorach Beis Yad. Covers don't require handles. Right? The cover of a pot doesn't require a handle. Amar Ravina Kamama Tatalina, Eina Kisu Yad Tanuri, Damas Mechasya. Here in the town of Mas Mechasya, we carry on Shabbos the lid of an oven, and even though it doesn't have a handle. So Elam Beis Achiza, come on, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, because we follow the position of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, and therefore we carry it. Okay, we'll come back to that. That's it's a point that Gemara ended our discussion, but we're going to come back to it a little bit later on this morning. Okay, unsure, I do not know. Okay, I'll come back to it. Okay, and we start now the new Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Chav Hamad Aleph. The Mishnah begins: Ha'evet shebekirya im mamalam ba ve'enu nofelos mamalam ba ve'im la ve'im mamalam ba. Okay, I'll describe it like the way Rashi describes it. I have the shell of a melon, right? A shell, right? Yeah, melon shell. It's dried out, and basically now it turns into a bowl. Okay, and if you can think of a watermelon, so obviously now it's a pretty big bowl. And what I want to do now is I want to use it as a bowl to collect water from the well. So I'm going to drop it into the water in the well, and I'm going to pick up the water. The problem is a very simple problem. It's really not that heavy. It's very buoyant. It floats in the water, and it's really not going to sink down into the water. So I want to create a weight for it. So what do? I put a stone inside of this bowl, so now it drops. And I want to do all this on Shabbos. Now the problem is a very simple one. The stone is muktzah. So how do we navigate around this issue? So the Mishnah says, I'll tell you how you navigate around the issue. If the stone doesn't fall out of the bowl, meaning that the stone is fastened and secured to the bowl, I guess you tie it down over there. However you get it to stay in the bowl, so now the stone is no longer muktzah. Now, why should that be? So the simple explanation is because I designated the stone. Meaning even though stones and any non-kalim items, sticks and stones and dirt and earth, so they normally, what did we say the other day? That if it's not a kli, it's muktzah. It's automatically muktzah. And it's not, in other words, it's not a kli shemachalis, so it's not a kli shemachal leheter. It's muktzah machmas gufo, meaning it is just simply muktzah. However, as we're about to learn now in our Mishnah and the upcoming Gemara, with a proper designation before Shabbos, I can now take it and basically convert it into a kli. Now, I'm not really turning it into a kli, but because it has functional use, so therefore we're allowed to use it on Shabbos. And essentially, a big part of our discussion this morning is going to be, what do I need to do in order to give it proper designation? So our mission is not really that articulate. The mission just simply says, as long as it doesn't fall out, so then you're allowed to use this melon shell together with the stone on Shabbos. I'll give another example. Zmura, shikshura, betfiach, memalan ba b'Shabbos. If let's say I have a vine, and I tie the vine to the bowl, so that now that when I put the bowl into the well, I'm not going to lose the bowl, because I got a vine attached to it. So as long as I tie it together, and the tying needs to be done before Shabbos, because again, the changing of designation of taking these natural items, these organic items, and turning it now into functional utensils has to be done before Shabbos. So as long as I tie it, so then I could use this bowl tied to the vine. Now, the vine is connected to the ground or not connected to the ground? Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to discuss that as well. It has to do. You have to do before Shabbos. A change of designation can only be done before Shabbos. Kaka chalon, and then the last thing the Mishnah discusses is the window shutter. Now, in the good old days, so these fancy windows that we have with glass, so those are modern innovations. Back then, a window was basically a hole in the wall, and obviously, you don't want the window open all the time, so they had shutters, so wooden shutters to put it on the windows. So, can I take a shutter and put it in the area of the window? What's the issue? Well, it's a very simple issue. You're building. Now, I say you're building, so what exactly does that mean? Does that mean that we're talking about actual binyan? So I'm going to show you later on this morning, Rashi's going to say, yeah, we're actually talking about binyan. Meaning because I have a house, I have a structure, there's a gaping hole in the wall of the house, and I'm affixing a shutter in there, so that's binyan. So what essentially now I know this has nothing to do with muktzah, and so why is it coming up over here? Because essentially the discussion is going to be conceptually the same point. As long as it's designated before Shabbos, so then it would be fine. Now here, what does designation mean? So that's subject to a debate. Rabbi Elazar Omer Bizmanchu Kashur V'Talui Pokim Bo. So Rabbi Elazar says designation comes in the following form. It's got to be Kashur V'Talui. The shutter has to be tied to the wall of the house. So that means that this shutter cannot be on the floor. It can't just simply be resting around the house. It has to be tied to the wall of the house. And secondly, a second criteria is it's got to be talui, meaning not just tied to the wall of the house, but with a long rope, and it's just sitting, simply lying on the floor. But tied over here means tied to the wall of the house and hanging from the wall. So that means all I need to do now is just simply move it to the area of the window and insert in the window. So if it's kosher v'talui, according to Rabbi Elazar, so then you're allowed to use it on Shabbos. If not, you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos. The Chachamim Omer, minkach, minkach, pokin bo, and the Chachamim said, no, it's not required. Now, I said, it's not required. Now, what do I mean by it's not required? What's not required? Meaning the tying is not required, the hanging is not required. Okay, so it's ambiguous in the Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to discuss that very point. We start with the Gemara, we are on Kuf Chaf Amud Beis, and we are the top of the Amud at the Gemara. Tanan Nasim Evin Shapia Chavis Mata Al Sida Vihino Felas. Okay, it's a Mishnah coming up. We're going to learn this Mishnah later on. And the Mishnah deals with the following scenario. We finished the wine at the Shabbos table, and we want to get more wine, so we're going to go to the cellar. And in the cellar, there's a nice barrel of wine over there. The small problem is that there's a stone on top of the barrel of the wine. Okay, now, the Mishnah says, not a problem. Mata al tzida v'hi nofelas. So what you're going to do is you're going to just tilt over the barrel, and the stone's going to fall off. To pick up the stone, that you can't do, because picking up a stone is muksa. So I can't pick up the stone, so I'll just simply cause the stone to move. This is what we call, throughout the Masechta, tiltum and atzad. It's an indirect movement of muksa. That's fine, that's not a problem. So I'll just simply tilt the barrel so that the stone will fall off, and that will be fine. Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rav Yochanan. So on this mission now, we're going to quote Rav Yochanan, we're going to quote him twice, and it's going to be clear that the two citations of Rav Yochanan are not in agreement with one another. Citation number one of Rav Yochanan goes like this. Lo shanu ala b'shocheach, ava b'meiniach naseh basus l'davar ha'asr. When the stone was placed on the barrel. So what were you thinking? So according to the first version of Rav Yochanan, it really depends. Meaning, if you weren't thinking, you just left the stone there by accident. Who knows? You picked up a stone in, and you don't know what to do with it right now, so you put it on the top of the barrel. But not because you actually wanted it there. Just in other words, temporarily, you're just going to leave it over there, and you forgot. So that's good, right? That's a good thing. Because now comes Shabbos, so now the stone was there. I didn't really mean to put the stone over there, so now just tilt the barrel and let the stone fall off. That's fine. The problem becomes when I wanted to put the stone over there. However, says the first version of Yochanan, Avibim Meiniach, when I intently put the stone over there, now we have a problem, because now, what is that barrel? It's a basis ledavar ha'aser. It's a base for something that's prohibited. We learned this already earlier in the Masechta. A basis ledavar ha'aser now becomes muksa. The stone is muksa, and so is a barrel of wine. And so is the lid that the stone is on. It's all muksa. And so therefore, I cannot move the barrel. Not because there's a stone on top of the barrel. I mean, yes, but it's not because of the stone, but it's because the barrel serves as a basis. The barrel itself is muksa. Version number one of Rav Yochanan, good, registered, let's move on. Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Lo Shanu Ola B'Shocheach, Val B'Meiniach, Nase Kisu Ela Achavis. Okay, now we have version number two. Now version number two is going to be much more exciting. First of all, it's going to be makel, it's going to be lenient, but also conceptually it's going to be much more exciting. Because, here's the story. This practice of tilting the barrel over so that the stone fall off, that's only if I left the stone there by accident. I forgot. However, if I intentionally put the stone on the barrel, so you know what I did? I turned the stone into a practical item, into a useful item. Meaning, I've actually turned the stone into a non-muksa item. Now again, it has to be done before Shabbos. I can't do this on Shabbos. But in other words, the stone can become now a kli. And it would be, therefore, perfectly acceptable to actually pick the stone up and take the stone off. So, Rav Yosef Amar, Rav Yosef Amar, Lo Shanu Ola B'Shocheach, Ava B'Meiniach, Nase Kisu Ela Achavis. Good. That's version number two of Rav Yochanan. So now, version number two of Rav Yochanan is essentially teaching us what? That if before Shabbos, I point to a stone, and I say, stone, I need you for the Shabbos, and I want to use you for the Shabbos, so with that designation, with that formal designation, I can now take a stone, and created into a non-muksa item. So far, so good. Amar Rava Mosvisan Ashmaitin. And now we're going to see an intersection between what we just learned from Rav Yochanan and our Mishnah. Because what do we learn in our Mishnah? Look what our Mishnah taught us. Our Mishnah taught us that I have a stone that I'm putting into my melon shell, and I want to put the stone in the melon shell because I don't want the melon shell to just simply float on top of the water. I want it to sink into the water. And in our Mishnah, what did it come to teach us? That if you want to make such an apparatus, that's fine, but it only will be fine if I tie the stone to the melon. If I make a connection, an attachment between stone and melon. But if all I do is just simply put the stone in the melon, that's not enough. So now, put these two cases side by side, and you realize we have a problem. In the case of the wine barrel, so all I need to do is put the stone on top of the wine barrel, and it now has service for me, it's a kisui, and it's no longer muksa. Put the stone in the melon shell, that's not enough. You need to tie it down over there. So, how much do I need to do to change the status of the stone from a non-muksa item from a muksa item to a non-muksa item? That's essentially the question. Velohi. Hasam came into Hatka Shehido Shavya Dolphin, and the Gemara says, well, no, because over there, once you tie it well, so it becomes part of the wall of the shell. So Amar Rav Yosef Umosvinus Hashmaisim Lave Mamalam Ba. Now Rav Yosef says, okay, but if I don't tie it, so then I can't fill it up. Veloi Hashem Kevin Delohatka Betule Batla Betule Batla. So the Gemara says, yeah, I'll tell you why there you have to tie it up. Because if I don't tie it up over there, in the case of the melon shell, it's going to fall out. Meaning, think about it. Let's envision the melon shell going into the water. So if the stone is not tied, so essentially what's going to happen is that melon is probably going to tilt over. And the stone's probably going to fall to the ground. So there I have to tie it, otherwise it's just not going to work. So there, tying becomes an essential component of changing the stone into a non-muksa item, because if I don't tie it, it's just simply not going to work. As opposed to the barrel, in the case of the wine barrel, all I need to do is put the stone on the top. Meaning I want just a little bit of extra weight to make sure that the cover stays on top. So I'm putting a stone over there, and that's all I need to do. Stone's not going to fall off. So there, I don't need to tie the stone to the barrel, to the lid, because I know the stone's not going to fall off. But essentially, that's how we're going to view the two cases. But my kamiflagi, now the Gemara wants to know, what is really at the core of the debate over here? Meaning, we had two statements of quoting Rabbi Yochanan. The first one was by Rabbi Ami, and the second one was by Rabbi Asi. And the Gemara now wants to know, what really is at the core of this debate between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi? Marsav Abinan Maisa, Marsav Alo Abinan Maisa. And essentially now the issue becomes the following. If I want to take a stone and reassign it, and give it a non-muksa status, and obviously again you have to do this before Shabbos, what do you have to do? Is a simple designation, verbal, I'm going to say right now verbal designation, although you'll see it's going to be a little bit more than a verbal designation, but okay. Is a simple verbal designation going to be enough? Or do you need to do an actual action and to the item in order to change its status? Now, if you don't fully understand yet, so let's go further in the Gemara, and maybe the following will illustrate this better. Rebbe went to a certain area. He was a scholar in residence, right? Rebbe basically served as a scholar in residence. And he sees a row of stones. The Amal Tamidav Tzuve Chashvu Kedeshaneshev Alehem Lamachar. And essentially now, Rebbe knew that there's going to be more people coming to the shir. It's going to be an exciting Shabbos afternoon class, and we're going to need more seats. Okay, in the good old days, that meant getting out more stones. Okay, that's you know. Really low budget operation, but essentially now the question is going to become: what do we need to do to basically turn these stones into seats? Now I'm not talking about physically. We're not going to change anything to the stones. I'm talking about legally. Meaning these stones are muksa. And what do I need to do before Shabbos in order to change the status of the stones into seats so that the stones don't no longer muksa? Now, correct. In other words, I want to articulate Ben's point because he's right. Meaning muksa is only a prohibition of moving an item. In other words, but if you don't move an item, you could sit on an item, that's fine. And I guess over here what they wanted to do is they wanted on Shabbos to, if in the event they needed to, pick up the stone, move the stone, reconfigure the stones. So in other words, they basically wanted to turn it into a non-muksa item. V'lo hitzrichan Rebbe le'maisa. Now, according to our first version, Rebbe doesn't require any action whatsoever. Meaning it's simply sufficient enough to just simply point to the stones and say, hey, we're going to use these tomorrow for Shabbos. And that's version number one of the story. Rav Yochanan amar hitzrichan Rebbe le'maisa. And then Rav Yochanan says, no, not true. Rebbe required a maisa. So far, so good. So we have now, so far, two opinions in terms of, we got the story down. Rebbe, scholar, and residence, we need more seats, therefore we want to turn the stones into non-muksa items. What do we need to do? So our first version is nothing. Not nothing, but no action point. Just simply point to the stones and say, they're going to be, for me, non-muksa items. But then we have Rebbe Yochanan, and Rebbe Yochanan says, no, you need a maisa. Now, even within that position, Rav Yochanan, what does he require? And here we go. So, Tzitzrich Rebbe Lamaisa, my Amar Lehu. And what did Rebbe say to them? And here we go now, Rebbe Ami Amar. So here we're now going to have the Rebbe Ami, Rebbe Asi. Meaning that within this definition of Rebbe required an action, what kind of action did it require? So Rebbe Ami Amar Tzu V'lim Dum. So Rebbe says, now when I first saw this Gemara struggling, meaning go and teach those stones. Which, not here in the Daf, by the way, but in high school, that's sometimes how I feel. So the... okay, don't quote me, okay? Right. No, none of it's being recorded. It's all off record. So the... thank you. So Rebbe Ami Amar Tzu V'lim Dum. Now Rashi, yeah, then I looked at Rashi and then we're fine. So Rashi says you got to pick up the stones, organize the stones, meaning manipulate the stones. Right? If you want to look at Rashi inside, Sidru Osam Ve'yishivam Kedei Shalot Nitzarech Liaga Behem Lamachar Lefishein Azmana B'Maisa Koldu Mo'ales. Rashi says just a little designation is insufficient. Levin La'asos Akli. In other words, and just like earlier, where Rebbe Ami was the one who said, to put the stone on the top of the barrel, that's insufficient. Because that's just a hazmana koldahu. That's just a little designation. Yes, it's true, I'm picking up the stone, but that's not enough. You got to organize the stones. You got to set them up as we would sit for tomorrow. Which, by the way, Ben, going back to your point that you made earlier, it makes it sound like tomorrow, come Shabbos tomorrow, like in other words, we're not even going to move the stones. But again, that can't be the whole point of the Gemara because to sit down on a stone by itself isn't an issue. We're really talking about changing its designation. Either way. So, Rabbi.
Huh? Where does he get that from that you have to do that?
What, I mean, that's his understanding of what Rav Yochanan meant. Now, what could be going on over here is that Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, you know, they were both singing shir, and Rabbi Yochanan said, I need more, and then it's just a question of what did Rabbi Yochanan said when he said more.
Rabbi Yochanan.
Well, they're, right, in other words, it's Rabbi, correct, in other words, right, following the chain. Rabbi said, we need to do something with the stones. Rabbi Yochanan says, not just verbal designation, I need more. And then Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi are arguing about what's the more that Rav Yochanan wanted. Okay. So anyway, so that is it. So Tzuvalim Dum, Amarlahu Rabbi Asi. I'm sorry, Tzuvalim Dum Amarlahu. That was the instructions of Rebbe. So in other words, not just verbal designation, and not just a simple hazmana, but a real manipulation of the stones. Rabbi Asi Amar Tzu V'Shif Shafum. Now Rabbi Asi says, just rub the stones. Rub the stones. In other words, you're right. Remember the good old days when we went to Yankee Stadium? I don't know who I'm speaking on behalf of other than me. But you remember the good old days when we went to Yankee Stadium and, so right, the guy there, Ralph, you know what I'm talking about. And the guy there rubbed the chair, Right, pretending like now the chair is clean.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Correct. And he sits there and waits for a tip. Yeah, okay, good. Okay, you know. So in other words, so just rub the stones. I don't have to actually manipulate the stones. I don't have to move the stones. It's just simply enough to go ahead and rub the stones. And that would be enough. So Amar Lahu, okay, and good, and that will coordinate with what we said earlier. Meaning when you put the stone on the barrel, that's all you need to do. Meaning I picked up the stone, I moved it now to a certain location which I want, that's enough designation. That will turn the stone into a non-muktzah item. Okay, so far so good. So, question of changing a muktzah machmas gufo into a kli for Shabbos. So now, we could break it down to, we can organize it into three opinions. Verbal designation, which the Gemara seems to totally reject. Physical manipulation, and just a question of how much physical manipulation we need. Machlok is between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi in the Gemara, and it sounds like certainly that Rabbi Ami is the preferred position.
Yeah, this is only for non-kli items, right?
Again, all this is talking about organic items, right? Non-kli items. Itmar Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul Amar, Sava Shal Koros Hava, Rabbi Yochanan ben Shaul Amar, Geshushal Sfina Hava. Now, there's going to be another version of the story in terms of what were the organic items that were there. And not even organic. But what were the items that were there? Sava Shal Koros, Rashi explains, these were beams. Beams that were organized, piled one on top of the other, so that the beams don't warp and bend. Annually, when I make my Home Depot trip to go get beams for the sukkah, so there I am in Home Depot, and I'm looking for the straightest beams. So in other words, you're right. It's normal for, especially if they're 2x4s, for them to warp and bend. So savar shel kavod savar Rav Yochanan ben Shaul Amar gushush shel sfina. Gushush shel sfina. We spoke about this earlier in the Masechta, I think 9th parak, where as the boat was trotting through the water. So you had people in the front of the boat who had these long sticks, and they would push down the sticks in the water to see how deep the water was. And then I made a totally inappropriate Titanic joke, and okay, and anyway, that was back in the 9th parak. So, man da'amr geshush kol shekein savar, o man da'amr savar av a geshush kapit alei. Now, the Gemara points out that if either one of these are the items that we're talking about, if you said it was a geshush al safina, so for sure, in other words, the Geshush al Sfina apparently was a more valuable item, right? The prod of the boat to make sure that the water was deep enough. And if that was what we were talking about, so a Savar shell, the beams, if I can, in other words, let me try to be clear about this. If I can move the water tester, I could for sure move the beams because the water tester is more valuable. And if that's not... Yeah, correct. So if I can move the Geshush, I can for sure move the Savar. However, if your position is that the only thing we were talking about was the Savar, was that pile of beams, but that would mean then the Geshush may not be movable, even if I try to redesignate it, because it's Muksa Machmas Chisaron Kis. At least that's what it seems like from Rashi. Okay. Zmur Shik Shura, and now we talk about the vine. So in other words, good. So we talked about the shell of the bowl being dropped into the water to draw the water from the well. And if I want to make it heavier so I could put a stone in it, but as we learned now, it's not enough to put a stone in it. You got to tie the stone to the shell. Now, what about using a vine so that I can actually drop the bowl in and bring it out? So as long as it's tied before Shabbos, so then it's fine. Kshura in lo kshura lo lema masisin de lo kerev Shimon Gamliel. Now it would seem like our mission is not going like Rav Shimon Gamliel. D'tanya chariyo shel dekel shegadron leitzin v'nimach aleim liyeshivat tzarach l'kshura. If I have a bunch of palm branches, I don't know if it's branch, whatever, stalks of palm, and I pile them together for wood, meaning fuel, wood. And then I change my mind and I say, you know what? No, we're going to use it for yeshiva. We're going to sit down on them for tomorrow. So, tzarech likshur. I have to do an act of manipulation. I got to tie them in a way so that it's understood that I want to change them for seats. In other words, very similar to what we just got done discussing. I'm taking an organic item and I want to use it for Shabbos, but I have to do a manipulation. I have to physically manipulate the item. Rav Shimon Gamliel, I'm going to start with Lick Shore. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, you don't got to tie it up. Not necessary. Okay? And again, all this is talking about obviously on Erev Shabbos, and Rashi says that. Now, it sounds like from our Mishnah that our Mishnah is not going like Rosh Hashanah and Gamliel, because our Mishnah says, do you want to use the vine as your rope? You got to tie it before Shabbos. Okay, so our Mishnah is not going like Rosh Hashanah and Gamliel. Now, that in of itself is not the end of the world. Okay, our Mishnah is not going like Rosh Hashanah and Gamliel, but as you know, the Gemara well enough to know, the Gemara would like to try it to make it out that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel could agree with our Mishnah so that you don't have a star Mishnah going against Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. I'm Rav Sheshes, a filotim, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, hach b'mayiskinim b'mechuberes b'avyam. It could very well be that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and the vine is still connected to the ground. Thank you. How could that be? So the Gemara says, isn't that a big no-no? Meaning you're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos. You're not allowed to hang your clothes on Shabbos, on a tree on Shabbos. Meaning you cannot use anything which is connected to the ground. Now, why not? So, we'll get to that in just a sec. That's the Gemara's next line. But I'm just generally speaking, why not? Why can you not use a tree on Shabbos? Chachamim made a gzera that I use a tree on Shabbos, I may break off a branch. Okay, so as a gzera de rabbanan, you cannot be mishtamesh with anything connected to the ground.
Isn't that a gzera on top of a gzera? It's already a mosa, and you're making it like.
Well, the Gemara. Well, okay, so let's keep the flow of the Gemara. So lamata megimel. So the Gemara argues, well, the vine over here is below 3 tefachim. Now, if there's a stump on the ground and the stump is below 3 tefachim, you're allowed to sit on that stump. And the reason why is very simple. Anything below 3 tefachim is considered ground. In other words, I'm not sitting on a stump. I mean, you can call it a stump, but legally speaking, it's part of the ground. It's within 3 tefachim of the ground. So the Gemara now is going to argue that this vine over here is within 3 tefachim of the ground. So and it's very interesting. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Lamata migimel samach lekarka v'kagon l'shov min amayan sheino amuk u'mata l'shamish be'ilan lamata migimel." You're allowed to use a tree that's below 3. Now, prior to this Gemara, one could have thought that this is extraordinarily limited, like I just described. If the stump is within 3 tefachim of the ground, you're talking about basically just a little bump in the ground. But here, we're going even one step further. We're talking about a vine that's so low to the ground, it's within 3 tefachim of the ground, and I can actually take the vine and use it as a rope to bring water up. So that is one understanding. So that means now that, look, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel normally says, I don't have to tie. And just a simple designation would be enough. But in our case, in our Mishnah, because this vine is still connected to the ground, so therefore it needs to be tied. That's one way of aligning Rabbi Shimon Gamliel with our Mishnah. Rav Ashi Amar Afilotema Betelusha Gzer Shema Yiktom. Now Rav Ashi says, you don't even have to say that. It could be that this vine in question over here is not connected to the ground. And if it's not connected to the ground, so why does it need to be tied according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? So the Gemara's explanation is because we're worried about the following. If it's not tied, we're worried that I may trim it down. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes, Shema Lamacha Tiyalo Arucha. You're going to find maybe tomorrow that it's too long. V'yik Temena Mitoch Shiracha. Now we're talking about a vine. A vine is very soft. And all you need to do is just come out with a very simple pair of scissors and cut. And now what you're doing is you're trimming it down to size. What malach is that called? You don't have to do much guesswork. Rashi writes, so now trimming it down to size means that that's the malach of make bepatish. Now on a normal branch, if you will, we're not worried about that because it's not that easy to cut. But with a nice soft vine that's very easy to cut, so maybe Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that's why in this case it needs to be tied up before Shabbos. So again, another approach in terms of how to align Rabbi Shimon Gamliel with our Mishnah.
This Shema Yiktum, that literally means that you're going to pull it off?
No. In other words, this answer is suggesting that it's already pulled off the ground. So the question then becomes, why does Rabbi Shimon Gamliel require to be tied when we know from another Mishnah that he does not have this requirement of having it to be tied up? And the answer the Gemara is offering is because since it's a soft vine, and since I'll be tempted tomorrow to cut it down to size,
right,
that would be a violation of Makeh Bepatish.
That's if it's cut cut off already.
Right.
So
correct.
Talusha,
correct.
What's the word yiktum mean exactly?
Cut. Yiktum katima.
Right.
We third parak of Sukkah. Right.
Right, but it's already
Niktam Rosho.
When does it say Shema Yiktum also? When it also says the Zera Shema Yiktum.
I just gave you the third paragraph of Sukkah. As far as I'm concerned, I consider it a successful day. So the Pakaka Chalon, shutter of a window. Am Rabba Bar Chanan Rav Yochanan Kol Modin Shein Tosin Oel Arai B'Tchila B'Yom Tov. Vein Tzarech Lomer B'Shabbos. Now you're not allowed to make an Oel a tent. Now if it's a real tent, meaning if it's a house that's called Binyan, and that of course you're not allowed to do. But even a makeshift tent, even a temporary tent you're not allowed to make on Shabbos, this is what's called an Oel Arai. So, there's an interesting give and take over here in our Gemara between Rashi and Tosfos. For our purposes, this is Daf Yomi, I'm just going to give you Rashi. And Rashi writes it with unbelievable clarity, that the only issue of an ohel is making the roof of the ohel. Rashi says that there is no issue whatsoever of making mechitzos on Shabbos, making the vertical wall. The only issue of the construction of ohel arai is only the rooftop. So, Rashi is essentially then going to be bothered with the following question. What's going on? What's our issue over here? We're talking about affixing a shutter to the window. The window is a mechitza. It's a wall. It's a vertical wall. So then what's the problem? So if you want to take a look at Rashi inside, Rashi says, I'll read the whole Rashi. And this Rashi then engenders Tosfos to go crazy. Tosfos over here. Tosfos on this Amud, it's a long one. But if you just took a look at Rashi, it's a start point of a discussion. Lefros machatzel zadal mechitzas o adal kundesin liyotzel o alam minachama vidavka gag. Rashi writes, the issue of making an oel on Shabbos is specific to the roof. Ava mechitza lav oel hu. But just making the walls, that's not an iser on Shabbos. Vishari leforsa. And Rashi writes, you're allowed to actually spread out a mechitza, a vertical wall. Litznius, for example, Rashi says, if you want to make a modest area, so you want to partition two areas because you want a privacy, so you're allowed to do so on Shabbos Kedarmin and Be'erivin, Bovda Deshmuel. Upekak hachalon demasnisan, now says Rashi, now that I set us up for that, so what's the issue with the shutter? The mishum de binyan kavuhu, so Rashi goes on to explain, because we're not talking about a temporary tent, we're talking about a house. That is a permanent structure. And Rashi says that when I put the shutter on the window, right, read the Rashi carefully, it looks like you are adding to a binyan. Now, it's not real binyan because I'm not actually building, but mechze, it looks like you're doing so. So we'll put this under the category of an issur derabbanan. Let's go back now to the Gemara. And again, all I did was just start the discussion. Tosfos on your own, please. We'll argue very strongly with Rashi. But anyway, back to our Gemara. Amar Rabba Bar Chanan Rav Yochanan Kol Modin Shein Osin Ol Harai B'Tchil B'Yomtov Ein Tzarech Lomer B'Shabbos. To make an Ol Harai that you're not allowed to do. Lo Nechlegu Ela Hosif. Can you add to an Ol Harai? She'reb B'Eliezer Omer Ein Mosifin B'Yomtov Ein Tzarech Lomer B'Shabbos V'Chachamim Omrim Mosifin B'Shabbos Ein Tzarech Lomer B'Yomtov. You're allowed to add to an Ol Harai. Which, by the way, is the halacha, meaning of that if you have already an existing ohel arai, and all you're going to do is just simply add to it, that would be fine. I know in the stroller discussion, most strollers have that canopy that you put over the top, so that could possibly be an ohel arai if you already have a starting point. Now, by the way, what's a starting point? So, generally speaking, when we talk about an ohel, a tefach is the shear of an ohel. So if I already have a tefach of ohel, and all I'm doing now is just adding and extending, so as the Gemara tells us right over here, that would be fine on Shabbos. Now, that last line of the Mishnah was ambiguous, because the last line of the Mishnah tells us that that the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Eliezer. Now, let's again review. Rabbi Eliezer says that the only way I could put the shutter over the window is if I have two things working in my favor. Number one, the shutter's tied to the wall. Number two, it's not drooping on the floor, but it's actually hanging, it's suspended in air. So now all I'm doing essentially is just moving the shutter over the window. Then and only then, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it will be acceptable. But otherwise, you cannot put the shutter on the window. And the Chachamim are Meiko. That's what we know. And here comes the ambiguity. The Chachamim say, Bein Kach Uvein Kach, Pokek and Bo. Either way. Well, what does that mean, either way? So, my Bein Kach Uvein Kach, that's the Gemara's question. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Kahana, Bein Kashur, Bein Shana Kashur, V'hushim Mesukan. It doesn't even have to be tied. Meaning that I could take the shutter off the floor, put it in the window frame, and that's fine. The only proviso I need is that prior to Shabbos, I had all this in mind. I planned this to happen. Well, this is a shutter, so it could be different than a stone and a stick. And I said that off the cuff. So I say it tentatively. V'hushe mesukan. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyahu v'alei mamar bein talui bein shein talui v'hushe kashur. Now, Rabbi Yirmiyahu says, can I make another proposal? Meaning, maybe the chachamim required to be tied up, and bein kach uvein kach simply means that it doesn't have to be suspended in air. But it still needs to be tied. But what the point that the chachamim are being mako with is it could be draped on the ground. Okay, couldn't that be what the chachamim mean? And let's even advance this argument. We go to the one of the final Mishnayos in Erevin that discussed the following. Now, a bolt to the door. Now, a door can be bolted in so many ways. So I know in our modern doors, so we have what's called a doorknob connected to the latch? Whatever it's called. Okay. Anyway, so that's our doors get bolted internally. But what they had in the good old days, much like when you go to the restaurants, you see those swinging doors, and what they do is they have a bolt that basically is tied to the door, fixed to the door, and there's a hole in the ground, and then you could just simply stick it right into the ground. Okay? That's essentially what we're describing over here in this mission, Erevin. Nagar Nigra Noalam Ba B'mitzah Shavolo B'medina. So, as long as the bolt is tied to the door, and as long as it's dragging to the door, so I could use this in the Beis HaMikdash, but not outside the Beis HaMikdash. What's the difference? Rashi quotes, I feel like we all know this already, that in the Mikdash, there's no Isuri de Rabbanan, ain't Shavos B'Mikdash. So there, from the Beis HaMikdash, the fact that it's dragging to, as long as it's tied to the door, but dragging, that would be sufficient. But outside of the Beis HaMikdash, where there are Gzera de Rabbanan, so you cannot do that. V'hamunach kan v'kan asar. However, if this bolt is not tied to the door, and so therefore, I'm picking the bolt up off the ground, and I'm inserting it into the hole of the threshold. So now, I've locked the door, you cannot do that. You cannot do that in the Beis HaMikdash, you cannot do that outside the Beis HaMikdash, and that would mean that it is Aser. We can even go one step further. It's Aser min HaTorah. Rashi actually writes that. Rashi says, V'hamunach, I'm reading the Rashi, it's right in the middle of the Amud. She'enu kasher klal, ela kishu shamto menachor, minicho agabe karka, hilkach kishetok'o b'shabes, when I take such a peg, and I insert into the hole in the threshold, bonehu, the isura deraisahu, af b'mikdash. Rashi says very clearly that now that's binyan, that's building, and therefore you cannot do it even in the base of mikdash as well. So, just give me a moment. So, b'mikdash v'negra b'medina v'tanya, I'm sorry, v'nechkan v'kan aser, that is the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ha-munach b'mikdash v'anigra b'medina. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, if it's munach in the base of mikdash, that's fine. For reasons which I'm not sure if I could articulate, he disagrees fundamentally. He says it's not bone.
His argument is all right. That's a big argument.
Correct. It really requires a svara. And b'medina, I'm sorry, v'enigra b'medina. And if it's tied to the door, so then you could do it, and even if it's dragging, you could do it even outside the Beis HaMikdash. V'tanya, ezu nagar nigra, shenolam ba b'mikdash, avolam b'medina, kol shekashur v'talui, v'rosho magia la'aretz. And now we're going to give strict definitions of what it means to be tied. According to the Tanakhama, if it's tied and hanging, which, right, sounds a lot like our Mishnah, meaning so that the bolt is not only tied to the door, but not dragging on the floor, but hanging from the door, so that is considered acceptable in the Mikdash. Avalom b'medina, kol shekashur v'talui, v'rosho magia la'aretz. Rav Yehuda says, what are you talking about? In the Medina, that would be mutter. Ela ezer should be Medina. Also, kol sheino lo kasha v'lo talui visham to menicha bekeren zavis. What is going to be prohibited in the Medina where it's not tied at all? Okay. Now, what comes out from this whole discussion is the following. That in order to use it, now we have two opinions in this Mishnah Erevin, Tanakam and Rav Yehuda. However, if you distill it all, if you process it all, what comes out is very simple. It's got to be tied. Meaning, both according to the Tanakama and according to Rav Yehuda, everyone has gradations of how tied it needs to be, but everyone to a certain degree says it needs to be tied. So now, I have a Mishnah here in Shabbos. And the Mishnah brings a machlokas between the Tanakama and, I'm sorry, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. And we know the Chachamim are Makel, but maybe the degree that they're Makel is that it has to be tied, but it can even be dragging on the ground. But it's got to be tied. Meaning, we just went through an entire Mishnah Erevin, and everybody agrees, both the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda agree, it's got to be, the bolt's got to be tied to the door. So the shutter in our Mishnah, presumably, everyone would have to agree, it has to be tied. And the only debate in our Mishnah is whether or not, Benkach or Benkach means, whether or not it's suspended in air, or even if it's dragging on the ground. The Amar, I'm sorry, I needed to read a little bit more Gemara. Okay, I'll read. Amar Vishua Barabba, Mishmedula, Mantan Nagar Nigra, Rabbi Lazarhi. And who is this author of Nagar Nigra? That's Rabbi Eliezer. So, good. Now, but basically, the Gemara just made essentially the same point. Meaning that the Tanakama of that Mishnah Erevin is Rabbi Eliezer. That it needs to be Talui the Kashur. Other way around. Kashur the Talui. Both tied and suspended. Which means then that Rabbi Yehuda of that Mishnah in Erevin, presumably, is the Chachamim of our Mishnah here in Shabbos. And that would mean that it needs to be tied. Okay, it took us a long time to make that one single point, but it's an important point. Meaning that when the Chachamim are being Makel, it still needs to be tied. Amalei ana d'amri ki aitana. So, in defense, now this is all Rabbi Yirmiyah in an attack against Rabbi Abba, who said in the name of Rav Kahana. So, in his defense, he says, well, you know, ana d'amri ki aitana. Good. You're right regarding that mission, Erevin. But I do have a Tosefta. Now, as we've gone over a number of times, what's stronger, a Mishnah or a Tosefta? Mishnah. Mishnah is stronger. Gemara, in just a moment, is going to pose that as a difficulty, but well, let's first get to through the Tosefta, and then we're going to come back to that point. Kanashit kino balabais lios poseach v'noel bo bizman shekashur v'talui bepesach poseach v'noel bo. Ein kashur v'talui, ein poseach v'noel bo. Tanakama says, I have a bolt in the door. Now here are the classic bolt of the door. Meaning the bolt goes from one end to the other. It's a horizontal bolt going across the doorway. And okay, the good old-fashioned bolt of the door. So, as long as it is kashur v'talui, both tied to the door and not dragging on the ground, but suspended in air, so then I could use such a bolt. It's part of the door. And it does not violate non isadoraisa, non isadoraban, it's totally fine. But, ain't kashur v'talui, ain't posech v'noel bo. But if it's not tied and suspended, I cannot use it. Rav Shimon Gamliel, omer mesukan af api sheino kashur. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says, it doesn't even need to be tied. It's fine. It would be okay. So now, Rav Kahana, in his defense, would say, look, you're right about that Mishnah Erevin. And there's nothing I could do about that. But, look at me. I have a Tosefta, and the Tosefta quotes the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. I could use a bolt, even though it's not tied. And now that I have that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, I'm now going to turn to our Mishnah here in Shabbos. I have the position of the Chachamim now. They spoke ambiguously, but now it's fair for me to interpret that what the Chachamim meant, Ben Kach Uven Kach, is it doesn't even need to be tied. Okay. I'm Rav Yehuda Bar Shilas, I'm Rav Asi, I'm Rav Yochanan, Halachi, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Now, first of all, the Gemara quotes a statement by Rav Yochanan, and Rav Yochanan says the halacha falls like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Okay, the most makel position. Umi amar Rav Yochanan hachi v'atanan kol kisui akelim sheyesh lam beis achiv v'nikam b'shabbes. However, the Gemara is bothered because it's inconsistent with another statement made by Rav Yochanan, that is that if I have a kisui, a lid of a cover, as long as it has a handle, it can be moved on Shabbos. V'amar Rav Yehuda Bar Shila, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, You know when I can move a lid, only when the lid has some functionality to it in of itself. Meaning it doesn't just serve as a lid to a pot, but the lid has can have some use itself. Meaning the lid is a little bit concave. Concave or convex?
Concave.
Concave. The lid is a little bit concave, and so therefore I could use the lid in of itself. So now the Gemara is bothered. So then, if that's true, so how can we? What are we? How can you use the bolt if the bolt is not tied to the door? Meaning, in order for me to use something according to Rav Yochanan, it must have an internal functionality. So the Gemara says, wait a second. What about the case of the wood where I collected the wood? And instead of using it for Eitzim, I changed my mind. I want people to sit on the wood. What did Rav Shimon Gamliel say? Verbal designation, that's all you need to do. So the Gemara says, so how do you align all this? So the Gemara says, okay, look, we're not talking about Rav Shimon Gamliel. We're talking about Rav Yochanan. And so the Gemara basically straddles that, look, Rav Yochanan says, as far as where he agrees that it's as long as it's mesukan, as long as it's designated, even though it's not tied to the door, Rav Yochanan says you could use such a bolt. As far as giving it status of a kli, it must have some sort of internal use. Meaning, even though Rav Shimon Gamliel is makel on that point, Rav Yochanan does not agree with Rav Shimon Gamliel. And finally, let's get to the bottom line. As far as the shutter is concerned, the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer, which means that the only way that I could use the shutter is only if it's tied to the wall of the house and it's suspended. Yeah, so that in itself is already a good question. The Gemara quotes what I think is the last Mishnah in the Masechta, and if not the last, one of the last. So, and it says in that Mishnah that you're allowed to put the shutter on the door, even though it's not tied and suspended. So the Gemara says, okay, but I also have that Mishnah Erevin. And that Mishnah Erevin says that it needs to be tied and suspended. So, I'm glad that you quoted me a Mishnah at the end of Shabbos, but I also have the Mishnah Erevin. So the Gemara says, Afil hachi maisa rav. No, the Mishnah in Shabbos is a better Mishnah, because that actually tells the story of what happened. A story of what happened is a stronger proof than just a Mishnah espousing a position. A Mishnah espousing a position, the learning. In learning, you could say whatever you want. Well, that's not true, but in other words, you could throw out ideas in learning. But lamaisa, but practical halacha, you see a Rav doing something, and the Mishnah is telling us we saw a Rav do something. We'll get to that Mishnah later on. I didn't go through that Mishnah, so that's Maisa Rav. That's a stronger proof. Okay, I wanted to finish the perek. We didn't, but we did okay. Okay, we started the Mishnah today regarding a stone in the shell, regarding using the vines as taking organic items and getting them ready for Shabbos. Conclusion: as long as I designate it before Shabbos, so then I can take organic items and basically turn them into kalim. What do I need to do? That was a debate between Rabbi Amin and Rabbi Asi. The conclusion of the Gemara, well, the Gemara doesn't conclude, but you need to do not just a verbal designation, you need to do a physical manipulation. Okay? We then moved on to a short discussion of Ol Arai regarding the shutters, and then the remaining part of the Gemara today dealt with putting a shutter on the window, putting a bolt in the door. Is it Binyan? What do I have to do before Shabbos in order so that it does not violate the Isser of Binyan, nor does it violate the Isser of Moksa? Okay, Ad Kan. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the last Mishnah of the parak. Bechanani menakashem aras rishbach utakisol tichachir b'mtor mitzvah shenem anay chafetz matziko yevdut ravi adir.